Today on Brave, a message on marriage from Jeff Swarzentraw.
These texts and what I'm going to tell you, wives, I'm going to give you three things, and husbands, I'm going to give you three things. They're not just difficult things. They're impossible things without being filled by the Spirit. Because all the instruction that God's going to give us today, He's got to be the one that lives this through you. This is for Spirit-filled spouses.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. There are plenty of books written on marriage, but what does the most important book, the Bible, have to say about this holy union? Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff presents a countercultural message about what it actually takes to build a healthy marriage. Whether you're single and looking ahead, or you've been married for years, there's plenty to learn in today's message titled, Spirit-Filled Spouses. We're continuing a message series in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis, and we'd like to remind you that if you need to catch up on any part of this study, you can do that anytime at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with his Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1.
And here in this short section of Scripture, we're going to hear from the Lord directly about instruction for what it means to be Spirit-filled spouses. And so He's going to talk to the wives first, and then He's going to talk to the husbands. Okay, so what does He say to the wives? He says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. It means this, wives, number one, relinquish control of your husband. Relinquish the control of your husband. Only a Spirit-filled wife can do this, right? Let's continue. The second thing is, how about this? Wives, not only relinquish the control of your husbands, but wives, reverence your character. Reverence your character. Notice what He says in verse 3. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. In other words, this, don't take your cues from the world, ladies. Notice what it says. It says, do not focus merely externally. There's nothing wrong with wearing makeup or braiding your hair or wearing jewelry or dressing in fine clothes. Here's what God is saying to the ladies. Don't make that your primary focus. Ask the Lord to develop you and develop a heart of a woman that has that inner beauty, that inner spirit that loves Jesus Christ with all that she is. That's what He's saying here. He's not downplaying wearing jewelry or makeup or anything like that. He's like, don't make that merely your thing. Don't just look at magazines and say, if I could only look like that, if I could only be that. And don't live for the applause of men. And don't live for the applause of your husband, right? Live for the applause of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He sees your heart and says, that's my girl. I see what you're doing and you're beautiful to me. Amen? That's what He's saying. So He said, wives, relinquish the control of your husbands and reverence your character, this pure character, this meekness that you're called to be. And then third, He says this, wives, you're called to respect your husband. Notice what He says here, verse 5, for in this way, in the former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So He's repeating what He says. This is how they adorned themselves. They didn't adorn themselves so everybody would notice their outside. They adorned themselves so that everybody would notice their character and who they were as a woman of God. And these women were submissive to their own husbands. They modeled it just like Sarah did, who obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, how about that? I mean, I won't make you do it in church, but maybe something you could practice this week. You're like, oh man, I can't do that. He says, you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by fear. Notice what He says. Let your husband be respected by you. Now, in our culture, this is really hard because any good sitcom, if you want to have any good show, all you need to do is get a domineering wife and a buffoon of a husband and make fun of him all the time, and it gets tons of laughs and it's awesome. And even in the Christian community, I know that there's women that are given over to husband bashing where they can't wait to go out with their girlfriends and just talk about what a loser their husband is. Don't ever do that. That is completely disrespectful in every way. Out of your lips and out of your mouth should be the most honoring words ever about your husband. Respect him, honor him. And it doesn't mean he has to be perfect, right? It means that that's just your general state, that I'm gonna put him first and I'm gonna respect him and I'm gonna honor him. Or even if your girlfriends are like, how do you even put up with a guy like that? And how do you do that? Because I serve the Lord Jesus Christ and he put up with me. And so I'm just responding to my husband the way Jesus did to me. I'm respecting him. Right? Guys, we grew up in a respect culture. We understand this. I mean, we understand authority. We understand respect. We understand who's better at this, who's better at that. We respect that. Women, you grew up in a culture of community. You just kind of love and talk nice to each other. Respect is a hard thing to do. But by respecting and giving words of affirmation and telling your husband when he did a good job and how you're honored to be his wife and how you're honored to be under his leadership and all, speaks volumes to your husband's heart. Respect him. Respect him. Right? And the challenge to all this is, like, if you're single and you're listening to this, let me just tell you this. Ladies, if you're dating a guy and you're like, dude, I don't really respect the guy I'm dating, break up with him like now. Like, because if you can't respect him now, you don't even know him. Wait till you get married. Like, you think you know him. You don't know anything, because we as guys, we keep everything secret until we marry you. And we don't even know we've kept it a secret. We're just being ourselves. And all of a sudden you wake up someday like, I didn't know this about him. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. And we're like, yeah, but we're married. Isn't it great? No, it was before we got married, but now I know you. Right? So you're not respecting him because he's doing all the right things. You're respecting him because that's what God has asked you to do. Right? And that's what he calls wives to do. Difficult? No. Impossible? Yes. Only spirit-filled women of the Lord can do this. But this is what the Bible teaches. And when you think about women's ministry, if you ever wonder, like, well, what should women's ministry be doing? And this is what our women's ministry does here. Take a look at this passage in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. When Paul is writing to Titus and telling him who to disciple, he never tells him to be with younger women, but he does talk about older women. He says, disciple the older women likewise, who are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that what? So these older women may encourage the young women to do these things, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Why? So that the word of God will not be dishonored. Women, the only gender that's told to be busy at home is females. This does not prohibit you from working outside the home in any way. God is just saying your primary responsibility is to your husband and to your kids. That's the word of God, right? Don't buy the lie that says, if the world doesn't value me, nobody does. Here's the truth. If you live how God wants to, God values you. God sees your value, and I promise you the return on investment is far greater than anything that you could earn by getting the approval of other men. Amen? And this is how God has instructed wives. So let's move on to the husbands. What are husbands supposed to do? Some of you women, you can take a deep breath now, and some of you men, you better sit up on the edge of your seat. Now, there's only one verse here for the men, but it's pretty loaded. It says, you husbands in the same way. Well, in the same way as what? In the same way as Jesus. See, Jesus not only knew how to submit, but they got to know something about Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He's the authority over all things. So if there's anybody that knows anything about submission, it's Jesus. If there's anyone who knows anything about leading and having authority, it's Jesus as well. And he says, in the same way, with Jesus as your model, here's what you're called to do. Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. It means this, first of all, husbands, preference your wife. Preference her. Live with your wives in an understanding way. It means this, consider her and put her first. This is not just difficult for the man, this is impossible without the Spirit of God. You know why? Ladies, let me tell you how we as men are. We either think we know everything and we think we're right about everything, or we just don't care. In other words, we as men like to be in charge, or we like to abdicate all responsibility. I got this, or you got this. Partnership for us, very, very difficult, right? You will hear guys say this. I've heard guys say this. And if you've ever said this, you're entirely wrong. I've heard guys say this to me. My wife holds me back. My wife's keeping me from all my goals. No, she's not holding you back. You're a buffoon. You need to preference your wife. God gave you your wife. God gave you her so that you could preference her, so you could learn from her, so you could listen to her. When you learn your wife's heart, you will learn no matter who you are, God's given you the opposite person of who you are. Men, God gave you the opposite of who you are. See, I falsely believe that when I got married, having a helpmate meant, I translated helpmate as help Jeff. So I knew where I was going, and I was getting this help Jeff to come alongside to help me get where I was going. I didn't realize where I needed the most help, which was in the areas of my heart, which were in the areas of seeing the world completely different than the way that I see it, which was preferencing somebody that sees the world different than me, that loves different than me, that appreciates things different than me, so that together we can be better. I'm better because of my wife. It means to preference her. And when I'm not spirit-filled, it's not my natural state. My natural state is to preference me. And I know what I'm doing and you can come along for the ride. Or I know what I'm doing and that's not a big deal to me, you figure that one out. To preference my wife means, no, we're doing this together because we're one. So we got to figure this thing out. So let's listen to each other. Husbands, if you don't listen to your wives and if you don't understand where they're coming from, you're missing out on God's blessing in your marriage. If your wife's been telling you something over and over and over and over and over, it's for a reason. She has a reason. You need to at least acknowledge that reason. You at least need to hear it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It doesn't mean you can't make a decision contrary to it, but you need to value it. It means honor her in a way that she would know it. So she would know that she knows that she knows that you actually do care about what she thinks and what she believes. That's what it means to preference your wife. Difficult? No. Impossible without the Spirit? Yes. Singles, young guys say, well, how do I do that? How do I learn how to do that? We're all called to preference one another and to consider others better than ourselves as Christians. It means this in all your conversations as you're preparing for marriage, just consider other people more important than you. Right? Just practice that. Put that into practice, because if you can get good at that, it will help you when you get married. Because if you get married thinking your marriage is about you, you're in for a rough ride, right? You don't get married for you. You get married to preference someone other than you. Then he says this, not only do we preference your wife, but protect your wife. Now, if there's a contender for the most politically incorrect verse in the Bible, this would be one of them. As he says, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Let me read it again. You didn't hear me. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Now, you hear this, and it feels like a put-down, doesn't it, ladies? It's not a put-down. I'll show you how it's not a put-down in a minute. It doesn't mean that you're weaker intellectually. It doesn't mean that you're weaker emotionally. It doesn't mean that you're less than a guy. It means that God's already shown you that you're co-equal. Men are not more important than women, and women are not more important than men. So let me give you an illustration. This here is a cup that I received. I got this at Dodger Stadium a couple years ago when the Cubs were playing there. It's just a plastic cup. You ever seen one of these? I love these things. My wife hates them. Like, why do you collect these things? Because they're great. I mean, they're cups. You can move them around. You can make smoothies in them. If you drop them, it ain't no big deal. I mean, it's just a cup. This is what men are like. This is how we talk to one another. I've been at men's events where I've been in the lobby and I've seen guys say, dude, I haven't seen you while. You put on a lot of weight. You look fat, right? Now, I haven't been to any of our women's event, but I have a pretty good idea that's never happened at any of our women's events, right? Women, you don't talk to each other. We're men. We're like these cups. We're like these vessels, right? In the King James Version, New King James Version, it reads weaker vessel. It means something that you carry. So if this is a guy, let me show you what a woman's like. This is weaker. See this cup? See this vessel? This is what a woman's like. Weaker doesn't mean less valuable. It means special. It means you have to protect this. I didn't dare bring the water for China from my house for this example because my wife would have been nervous while I was holding the cup, right? Because you have to package that stuff and you have to take care of that stuff. And we as guys, we get married and we think our wife is like this cup. And we start talking to her like this cup, like we have with all of our other guy friends that don't have any problem with us. We start communicating like this cup. And then all of a sudden this cup gets chipped or this cup gets cracked. Or this cup gets hurt, and we as guys are like, what's wrong with her?
so weak.
Yeah, she is. She's precious. You can't treat her like this. You have to treat her like this. It means you have to think about her as someone who's more valuable. You have to think about how you're going to protect her heart. You have to think about how she knows that if with you, she feels the most confident and protected and loved and secure. And oh, by the way, guys, every single one of your wives, when you married them, because they live in a sinful world, they're cracked in some way already. And some of them are cracked a lot more than others, which means you get the ability as a husband to kind of help put that thing back together and love and honor and do all that, because a woman is not like a man. Woman, it's your heart. You have this insatiable desire to feel cherished and precious, and it's valuable and it's normal and it's how God made you. You know what, guys, our problem is? Women, our problem is our ego. Our problem is you can't tell us that we're awesome enough too many times. You can't. It's insatiable for us. You're like, I already told you like twice this week that you're awesome. Yeah, but that I needed it like 30 times that day and that still wasn't enough. And for women, you have a heart that's insatiable saying, tell me that I'm cherished. Tell me that I'm loved. Tell me you would have picked me all over again. Tell me that you're there for me. Listen to what I'm saying when I'm talking about this relationship that's been bad. Let me know that you care about me. See the difference? This is weaker. It doesn't mean less than. As a matter of fact, it may mean more precious and more valuable. Amen? That's what Peter's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us as husbands that our wives are not the same as men. And that's the illustration that God wants us to understand, because she's a woman. It's not a put down. And that's why he ends by saying, and show her honor as what? As a fellow heir of the grace of life. It means you preference and honor your wife. It means out of all the people in the world, your wife would be the one who would say, I know this about my husband. He protects me. He loves me. He cares for me. He puts me first. Like, you live like that, it makes it pretty easy for a wife to submit to you, right? Like, I've never met a wife with a husband that wants to be like that, that would say, I'd never submit to that. No, they want to. It's how God designed women. It's good, but we have a responsibility too. And singles, let me just say this before I move on. Say, how would I protect my wife? I don't have a wife. Well, when you date, be chivalrous. Open the car door for your girlfriend and pay for her meals and be the one that asks her out and pursue her, and don't make her tell you, well, I kind of like to go out with you and, well, what do you want to do? I mean, be a gentleman. And then he gives us a third one. Then this third one, this may be the hardest of all for some guys. Husbands, pray with and for your wife. Pray with and for your wife. See, God asks us to treat this way, why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. This assumes that you're praying with and for your wife. Now, just a word to the ladies here, just so that you can hear something from me, because your husbands won't tell you this. One of the scariest things for a husband to ever do, and one of the things he's probably most terrified to do of anything that you would ask him to do, is to pray with him, right? Because they've heard you pray, ladies, and you pray with flowery language and heart and passion and goodness, and then you ask, how come you never pray with me? And he feels like a third grader doing English as a second language when he prays. And so when he's praying, he feels like a moron and an idiot. So he feels like he's not the leader that he wants to be. So it's not that he doesn't want to pray with you. He just doesn't know how. So it's okay for you to tell him, hey, I just want you to pray. And even if it doesn't come out right, it's okay. Now, husbands, let me just tell you this. Pray with and for your wife. Even if you don't know how, just tell your wife, I'd love to learn how to pray with you. And I know I'm not very good at that. And I know I need to develop my prayer life. But would you be willing to pray with me? And just practice, or get with other couples that know how to pray and pray with them, and come to prayer nights, because the best way, prayer is more caught than it is taught. Like, when you learn to pray for each other, that's what keeps your marriage on the right track. I mean, if 50% of marriages are breaking up and 50% of them are Christian marriages, and how many more people here that are married are not living that enjoyable Christian married life? I mean, there's myriads of you. Pray together. Here's the question. How many of you pray together? How often do you pray together? Like, when do you pray together? Do you set aside time? It's hard. I remember when Kim and I got married, I remember thinking, we'll get up every day when we get married. We'll do devotions every day. It'll be so awesome because we'll be living together. We'll have so much time. It doesn't happen that way. You have to make time to pray for each other and with each other, so that your wife can hear you praying prayers of blessing, so she knows you've heard what she's dealing with that day, and you can pray over her, and she knows, if my husband's praying, I know God's got this, and I know God's going to work this thing out, and that's who my God is. And husbands, just know this, even if you have a wife who's not a believer, she would want you to pray for her. She would want to hear you pray for her. She'd want to hear you pray for your kids. Many of you wives, you're dying for your husbands to do that. And again, this is not a nudge. Like, are you listening? This is husbands. This is for you. Pray with and pray for your wife so that what? Your prayers won't be hindered. It means you as a couple, God established you as one to accomplish some things in this world that he can only do through you and nobody else. And the way that gets done is through praying with and for each other. What are you praying for? What are you believing by faith that God's going to do in your life, in the lives of your children, in the lives of your scope of ministry? What is God doing? And by living this way with wives honoring their husbands and husbands honoring their wives, that keeps our prayers from being hindered. If you're single here, I would just encourage you, develop your prayer life. I mean, just develop your prayer life. I mean, be ready to pray and be praying for your spouse, for who God would bring you. I remember the first time I ever prayed with my wife, we got done praying. I remember exactly where we were and I remember exactly what she said when we got done. She said, we said amen. And she looked at me, she's like, wow. She's like, did you feel that? And I'm like, feel what? She's like, the Holy Spirit was all over that. And I was like, I know, baby, that's how I pray. Right? Right? I didn't develop my prayer life when I got married. I already had a prayer life and I knew praying with my wife, she had one too. And I knew she loved Jesus because I could hear it coming out of her heart. And even if you're a novice at prayer and you've never prayed before and you're brand new at this, and I mean, you can start by saying, God, I don't even know how to pray, but here I am and help. That's a great prayer, right? It's praying God's word back to him. It's reading scripture. It's praying this, saying, God, I would love to be the husband that preferences my wife and lives with her in an understanding way as someone weaker, and let me honor her that way as a fellow heir of the gift of life. And Lord, I want to do this so my prayers won't be hindered. I mean, just pray the scriptures right back to God. These are hard things, but they're really good things. They're impossible things, but they're possible with the Spirit of God. And so God's called all of us to put these things into practice, not to put down one another, not to nag at one another, not to tell one another, you better be, or you're lousy, or look at what happened. Or this is a chance for each of us individually to be able to confess, I haven't been that. And just so you know, I can tell you on the authority of God's word, there's not one husband here, nor is there one wife here that lives this 100% perfect all the time. Right? You don't have communication problems in your marriage. Every marriage has that. You don't have irreconcilable differences. Every marriage has that. You have a spiritual issue of being the person God wants you to be. Now, here's the question. Most husbands are saying, if my wife would live like that, I'd lead like that. And most wives are here saying, if my husband would lead like that, I'd submit like that. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is for individuals who hear the voice of God saying, if my wife never even hears a word of that, I'm going to live this way. Here's how it works. If my husband doesn't ever hear a word of that, here's how I'm going to live. And the reason I'm doing it, God, is I'm doing it for you.
An empowering reminder that living God's way doesn't require anyone else's initiative or permission, but simply a willingness to obey. You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the final part of a message titled Spirit-Filled Spouses. If you'd like to revisit any part of today's program or share this lesson with a friend, visit bravemedia.online. As we heard from Pastor Jeff, a healthy marriage isn't a waiting game. We can't sit back and simply hope our spouse will make the first move. As believers in Christ and carriers of the Holy Spirit, we have the duty to take the initiative in our marriages. Rather than base our actions on the worthiness of the other person, God calls us to act in obedience to Him. Because Jesus didn't wait for the world to become worthy of his sacrifice, that was never going to happen. Instead, he took the lead in love, and by humbling himself on the cross, he redeemed that which was lost. Now we're called to make the same self-sacrifice in our marriage and redeem relationships which seem lost. Now, as we near the end of today's broadcast, we'd like to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, join us at either of our two Brave Church campuses in Englewood and Westminster. No matter where you're listening from, you can also join us from home through our live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom of the page for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, you can email us hello@bravechurch.co. To send a letter in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Well, there's a lot of talk about injustice these days, but what does God say about this hot topic? I'm your host, Bill Carl. Tune in tomorrow for a biblical perspective on injustice. That's coming up right here, tomorrow on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.